shepherds into his harvest. And we all know the basis of this story. He was talking to the woman at the well and began to converse with her. And she was so taken, eventually just left her water pot at the well, the Bible said, and ran into the city and said, "Come see a man that told me everything I've ever done." And when Jesus said, "Look on the fields, for they are white," he wasn't pointing to the wheat fields and the grain fields and that sort of thing. He just got through saying there's only 4 months left till the harvest. But he was looking at the people that were running out of that city. And when I read about that a little bit, I read one time that when somebody came in and had something unusual to see or something a little out of the ordinary, and he was described as a teacher or a prophet or a rabbi or something, they would put their best clothes on. They would take off their normal everyday, and they would robe themselves in their Sunday go-to-meeting, so to speak, which was white from top to bottom. And I said, well, it makes sense. Jesus is saying, see the field? See them? They're white, all ready to harvest. That whole mob of people dressed in white was coming at him. You know, and it just kind of enlightened me about what Jesus is saying. The people are ready for harvest. And that's what he referred to the crowd as, a field ripe for harvest. I tell you, many people are ready to give their lives to Christ if they just had somebody to show them. You know, they may have a look on their face that would betray, what's that old song, the old boy sang, "Tears of a Clown"? You know, he tried to look happy, but deep inside he's blue or whatever it was. We don't know, just looking at the face of a person sometimes, what they're going through. But I'm telling you, a lot of people are ready to give their heart to God. And so when we pray for something, be careful and be ready to answer his call, because sometimes he may tell you to do it. You know, it's not, "Oh God, we need laborers for the harvest. Go out there and get some people and let them be laborers." And he may call you. He may ask you to do it. That's why we need to always be prepared to show someone the way to Christ. But remember, to be effective, you have to bear good fruit. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He's simply saying, we as well-taught disciples, we need to pass on what we know. Amen. Our work is not done until we begin to see new believers telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It cannot die, folks. We have to pass it on. And we may not always see it, but in a manner of speaking, we need to see those new converts doing the same thing that we're doing. That's called success. That's bearing good fruit and passing it on. And that's what Paul was telling them in 2 Timothy about being able to teach others also. The next thing, category, is bearing fruit in the home. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord." Probably one of the most controversial and misunderstood scriptures in the entire Bible. I've even heard in the media debates about this scripture. You know, people that, "Well, that's not right. You know, that's not our culture. That's not the way it's supposed to be." You have to understand what the scripture is saying. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord." Verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Submission is often a very misunderstood word. It does not mean becoming a doormat for a man. Christ submitted his will to the Father, and we honor Christ by following his example. The husband has to be following Christ as Christ followed and obeyed his Father. The Bible says you will love them as Christ loved the church. So you husbands, you have to love your wife as much as Christ loved the church. Think about that just for a minute. That's not asking her to be some submissive, that's scared and running and stuff like that and has a doormat, like I said. That's not true. The wife will willingly submit to the head of the household that's following Christ as he follows Christ. The husband will put aside his own interest to care for his wife as Christ loved the church. I tell you, submission, as it's given in these scriptures, is rarely a problem in the homes where both spouses are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And where each one is concerned about the happiness and the welfare of the other. So in a nutshell, wife, bear the fruit of subjection. Husband, you bear the fruit of love. Children, you bear the fruit of obedience. Parents, bear fruit of tender care. Amen. Amen. So in each case, the husband, the wife, the children, and as parents, there is a mutual responsibility to submit and to love and to obey and to encourage and to be fair and to work hard. That's what it's all about. We all have someone to be submissive to. Amen. Amen. We must bear good fruit in the home. Bearing fruit on the job. Colossians 3 and 22 through 4 and 1. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Don't think you've got a good excuse up your sleeve. When the day comes that you stand before God, there is no respect of persons. Amen. You can't stand there and say, hold it. That guy in the back of the line back there told me I didn't have to. It doesn't work that way. Everybody's going to give an account of himself. Amen. Colossians 4 and 1. Masters, give unto your servants that just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So, basically, employee, you bear fruit of honest labor. Employer, you bear fruit of justice and fairness. Amen. Love for the brethren. Another way to bear fruit. John 13 and 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. I've heard some other the New International Version, some talk about love one for another. I'm telling you, the way I look at it, you can have love for somebody, but it's not put into practice until you give it to them. There's a difference. One's a three-letter word, one's a two-letter word. Big difference. It's having love to one another, not just for one another. Amen. Love is more than simply a warm feeling. It's an attitude that reveals itself in action. Amen. Amen. Love is, and I wrote these down, helping when it is not convenient. And how many have been asked to do something and you were kind of tied up, so to speak, and it wasn't convenient? I'm telling you, that's bearing good fruit. That's dropping everything you're doing and going to the assistance of somebody that needs help. Amen. Helping when it's not convenient. Giving when it hurts of your time, your talent, and your money. Devoting our energy to others' welfare rather than our own. Absorbing hurts from others without complaining or fighting back. Is that not hard to do? But that's bearing good fruit. That's just taking it in and not retaliating and not complaining or fighting back. I'm telling you, this kind of love, that fruit of love, it's hard to do sometimes, but it all goes back to bearing good fruit from a good tree. Amen, amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I know sometimes we're not able to do, but when we are expected to help our brother and our sister. Amen. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I'm telling you, you know, it's easy to say, well, God bless you. You know, I hope you get to doing better. If you're able to help them, God expects that out of us. That's bearing good fruit, folks. That's the word of God. And I'm sure we all feel like we could do and should do more for Christ. But I'm telling you, on the flip side of that coin, do not let your conscience condemn you if you're not able. God understands that. He expects us to do what we can with what we've got. But if you're bearing good fruit, I want you to remember one thing. God is greater than your conscience. God is greater than your conscience. We got to remind ourselves, God knows your motives and your heart. The Bible says he knows your heart better than you know it. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So God is greater than your conscience. I'm telling you, his voice of assurance is much better than my conscience. Don't let Satan condemn you and talk to you saying, well, yeah, you muffed it this time. God is greater than that. I'm telling you, but he does expect us to do what we can with what we've got. We're talking about bearing good fruit. The next thing, obedience to Christ. I've got to hurry. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I tell you, some people can talk a good game, but it has no reflection or does not reflect their athletic skills, so to speak. If you're going to talk the talk, what's the other part? You got to walk the walk. And I'm telling you, God is more concerned about our walk than he is our talk. Amen. Amen. You know, we can talk about our fruit and fruit trees and all that, but until somebody looks at it and says, whew, man, you told me a lie. He wants us to do right, not just say the right words. And I'm telling you, I want you to remember this. What you do cannot be separated from what you believe. What you do cannot be separated from what you believe. You may change your words every now and then, but what's in your heart is going to manifest it just as sure as the sun rising set. You cannot separate what you do from what you believe. John chapter 15, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15 and 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I tell you what, the joy of living for Jesus Christ every day, it'll keep you level-headed. It'll keep you on an even keel, so to speak. So we need to give all the love that we can and then try to give a little bit more. That old song says, I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to love until there's no more to give. Amen. That's bearing good fruit. What can we do to increase our fruit? Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig around it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. Jesus is saying God's not always going to tolerate our lack of productivity. He may put up with it for a while, but there's going to become a time that he is no longer going to tolerate that. I tell you, we need to respond to what the gardener said and begin to care for what God has given us and bearing good fruit. And listen to what he said. I know I had a tomato plant and Pam picked 11 cutworms off that thing. We were gone, and when we got back, it stripped that thing. I told Pam, I said, look, just jerk that thing up. I'll go get another one. And I thought about this scripture. I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing on this platform, that thing is that high, and that big around got tomatoes all over it. She cared for it. She killed the cutworm to start with, put fertilizer on it, and I mean, that thing is still bearing tomatoes. Not big ones. I mean, it's enough to put on a sandwich. But we need to listen to what the gardener said. We need to dung around it. We need to dig around it. We need to take our good fruit. We need to let it work to help somebody else. We must abide in Christ. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. I'm the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more care ye except ye abide in me. I tell you, no matter how far you are from the trunk, if you are abiding in the vine, you will produce fruit. I don't care if that vine is far from here to that door and the trunk's up here. There'll be a grape out there if it's abiding in the vine. And I thought about the word taketh away, and I'm fixing to close. That word taketh away. I had a whole new perspective on this when I read about this. That word taketh away is aero in the Greek. It never means to cut and to destroy. It means to take up. That same word is used when Jesus told them, take up the 12 baskets of the leftover loaves and fishes. And I'm not trying to cross theological swords here. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, may bring forth more. Now you're clean through the words. And it said that the vineyard keepers would take the vines that had fallen down, and it would lift them up and wash the dirt off of them and weave them back into the trellis, that they would bear good fruit. And the next verse says, now ye are clean through the words that I have spoken to you. If you keep reading that part, it gets down there to where you don't abide in him and he doesn't abide in you. And what does it say? It said it's going to cut it off and it's going to throw it in the fire, because grapevine is worth nothing. It doesn't even burn hot enough to provide a good fire. But I'm telling you, we have to abide in Christ. I'm fixing to skip over here and read one verse, and I'm quitting. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Do y'all have that one, Sister Roxanne? The last one, I think. I wrote this down after I got to church. I read it. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruits corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Next verse. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Did I not tell you a while ago, you cannot separate what you do from what you believe? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. And abundance, in my way of thinking, is having more than necessary. If I have an abundance of something, I'll give you some. Next verse. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now that's not casual conversation about the weather. That's idle words that are spoken that's not bearing good fruit. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We have to bear good fruit. And I'm telling you, somebody that might change their words just a little bit, to make you think they're bearing good fruit, but their heart is blackened with sin, and they're not right with God. Trust me, at some point in time, out of the abundance of that heart, the mouth is going to speak. I'm telling you, you don't cleanse yourself by masking your words. You cleanse yourself from the source, from the heart, and therefore, the heart will make sure that the words come out of the abundance of your heart will be bearing good fruit. Amen. We need to be what we are. I thought about the hunters in here, and Brother Bag, and different ones that like to hunt. You go hunt, you put on your camouflage, you get in the tree, and you want to look like a tree. You want to look like a branch, because when a deer comes by, you don't want him to see you. You don't even want him to smell you. But at some point in time, that bush is fixing to explode, and that bullet's fixing to find its way out there and find that deer and knock him down. And I don't know what his last thoughts was. He said, man, I thought it was a bush. I tell you, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak at some point in time. Folks, we have to bear good fruit. Amen. God bless you this morning. I'm sorry I went over, but I think it's important. All that I read, I didn't finish all these notes, but we need to bear good fruit. It is very important. So God bless you this morning. Take a quick break. Come back for morning worship service.